Morning. Thank you for being here this morning. I hope the monitors don't mess up while we're going through the lesson this morning. Have you ever truly thought about what a Christian is? Have you ever thought about how we should conduct ourselves? Have you ever thought about what our mission is? And what are our goals? We learned from Acts chapter 11 and verse 26 that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Luke writes here, "Then departed Barnabas unto Tarsus," and I appreciate Brother Mike reading this, "for to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Now, several weeks ago, if you'll remember, I believe it was in our Bible class, we talked about the word Christian, that it's literally only used three times in the New Testament. In this verse here, in verse 26, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." And then we can read in Acts chapter 26, verses 27 and 29, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." Paul, standing before King Agrippa, saying, I know you believe. What's stopping you? Says there that, Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. And Paul basically said, Agrippa, not only you, but my prayer is that everyone that hears me this day would become a Christian. This is the second verse in which the word Christian is actually used. And then we can read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody." Now, did you catch that? Peter here is listing a busybody and other men's matters in the same category as a murderer, a thief, and an evildoer. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Peter writes, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's business. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." That's the third and final time that the word Christian is used in the New Testament. Now, the essence of the word communicates that one, meaning Christian, is a follower of Christ. However, a more comprehensive meaning to the term can be extracted from the New Testament by examining how the followers of Christ are identified and described within its pages. So here's the question. What is a Christian? A Christian is, in faith, a believer. A Christian in faith is a believer. Acts chapter 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now the word there, baptized, literally has the idea of washing. Washing. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. Again, you know, Peter, in the great gospel sermon that he preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, he's standing up before a large crowd of people, mostly made up of Jews. And he convicted them. He pricked them in the heart because they were guilty of the death of Christ. And they cried out, "Men and brethren, what can we do? How can we change this? How can we save ourselves?" And then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Remission. Repent and let every one of you be baptized or washed in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, for the pardon, the forgiveness of sin. In faith, a Christian is a believer. We believe in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We believe that the blood of Christ will save us from our sins. We believe these verses because they very explicitly tells us that we must believe in order to be saved. Again, look at Mark 16 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you don't believe, then why would you be baptized? If you have totally decided in your mind that you are not going to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then why would you be baptized? It says here that if you don't believe, that there is a problem. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And then the great sermon by Peter on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. There's a reason for the baptism. And that reason is to have your sins pardoned for forgiveness. In faith, a Christian is a believer. In knowledge, a Christian is a disciple or learner. John chapter 8. Verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said unto those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If you abide, or if you continue, that means you're not deviating. You're not changing what I've told you. You know, men love to change things, don't we? Most men do. You know, we can't, you know, just be satisfied with the way things are. We want to try to make things better. But in the case of Christianity, in the case of God's word, we can't do that. We're not allowed to change what we think is unnecessary. In knowledge, a Christian is a disciple. Literally, the word disciple is learner. How many of us are learners? How many of us truly believe, you know, we all believe that, you know, that we are disciples of Christ, do we not? But how many of us truly believe that we are learners? So what is it that we are to learn? Well, Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, he's talking to the Jews which believed on him. He's saying, if you continue in my word. So you think it's important for us to learn God's word? Or should we just kind of, oh, you know, that's what brother so-and-so believes. That's what they've taught me, so that's what I believe. Or should we not take the word of God seriously? If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There is no other truth. There is no other truth known to mankind that will make you free other than the word of God. And then in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 20, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. We will never, ever be above Christ. Matthew 10:24. We will never, ever. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Is not Jesus Christ our master? Is not Jesus Christ our Lord? If we say yes, then we need to understand that we cannot usurp his authority. Can we? Absolutely not. A Christian in knowledge is a disciple or a learner. In character, a Christian is a saint. Now, you want to learn a little bit more about saint? It's referenced 62 times in the New Testament. Look up, get perhaps a good concordance, and look the word saint or saints. There should be 62 verses. Read them. It'll help you to understand truly what a saint is. In character, a Christian is a saint. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Christian, a learner, saints. Do you believe that you're actually a saint? Do you understand that? You know, in some of the religious world, in order to be a saint, you have to have something that you did had to be, you know, a miracle that was witnessed by others. But here, Paul says that we're called to be saints. Each and every one of us. When we obey the gospel, the disciple, a learner, a saint. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, I've known quite a few peculiar people in my lifetime. But in this respect, the word peculiar here is a purchased people. Not strange. You know, again, you probably know a few strange people, don't you? But in this case, when it talks about, you know, being a peculiar people, it literally has the idea of a purchased person. Are we not purchased by the blood of Christ? Yes, we are. In influence, a Christian is a light. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. We read here Jesus speaking, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." We're to be lights. We should be a beacon of Christ. He goes on, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is heaven." Not bringing glory upon ourselves, but bringing glory to our Father. Let our light shine before men. You are the light of the world. The word there, light, literally has the idea it is to make manifest or to make known. You are a guide to the blind. That's what we're told in Romans chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. "And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law." You know, I thought it was kind of interesting that Paul uses here that we are a guide to the blind. We are a leader of the blind. Those that are outside of Christ, they need our leadership. We are to let our light so shine before men. Those that are lost in the world, they need our leadership. When they look at us, they should see something totally different than what they see in the world. We are to be a light in this dark, sinful world, to lead people out of darkness, sin. A Christian in conflict is a soldier. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 3, and, or chapter 2, and verses 3 and 4, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Literally, warrior, hardness, endure affliction, hardships, warreth. Literally, what that is standing for is a military camp. Can you truly understand that we are at war with Satan? You know, I don't think most of us has the grasp to understand that we are truly at war with the powers of darkness. They war against us every single day. Do we not, or should we not, fight against sinfulness? We are to contend with carnal inclinations, or we should not be entangled or be involved with worldly matters. Now, I'm not saying we should not be concerned about things that's going on in the world, but we should not entangle ourselves in the sinfulness of the world. Should we? Paul tells Timothy, "Thou therefore endure hardness," literally endure afflictions, "as a good soldier of Christ. No man that warreth or is in a campaign is going to entangle himself with the affairs of this life. We're going to fight daily to overcome. We're going to fight daily to strengthen our faith. We're going to fight daily to strengthen our resolve to be faithful until death, so that we might receive that crown of life. A Christian in communion is a friend. In John chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Now, specifically, this is speaking about the apostles. But in reality, it's also speaking to us, because we have what was told to the apostles written down for us in what we call our New Testament, our Bibles. Jesus plainly declares that if we obey his commands, then we're his friends. Isn't that what it says? "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." What has he commanded us to be? Lights. We're to be lights. We're to be learners, believers. In worldly position, a Christian is a pilgrim. Notice 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust." That's our warring. That's our military campaign, to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. The word there, conversation, is our conduct, our way of life, how we live every day that we're on this earth. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know what? When it says there that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, you know there are many in the world today who truly do believe that we are evil, that we're insane, that we need psychiatric help. There are those in the world today, right here in the United States, probably some right here in Tipton, that truly believe that we are evil and we do evil because we speak out against sinfulness. In worldly position, a Christian is a pilgrim. This world's not our home. And in relationship, a Christian is a child. Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." And then we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. We're no longer illegitimate children. We have been adopted by God through Jesus Christ. "But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Not that we're going to be, but we are right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month or next year, but right now. because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have become adopted sons and daughters of our Father in heaven in expectation. A Christian is an heir. Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. And if children, you know, we just looked in Galatians 4, 6 and 7, that now we are the sons of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. A true Christian is a follower of Christ, identified with Christ, and belongs to Christ. A Christian is a believer. A Christian is a disciple, a learner. A Christian is a saint. A Christian is a light. A Christian is a soldier. A Christian is a friend. We're pilgrims. We're children of God and we are heirs. Should not that make you excited? That we are these things as Christians, as believers? Should we not be excited knowing that right now we are children of God and heirs of the promise? I believe we should be. But you know what? If you're not right with God, then all of this is not doing you much good. If you're not living faithful, then are you still an heir? Are you still a true child? So the opportunity we have every day is to make ourselves right with God. So if you're here this morning and perhaps you need the prayers of the saints to help you to get back into a right relationship, we'd ask you to come as we stand to sing the song of invitation.
Bring Christ joy.